Good morning. If one more person gets up here and says anything, the sermon is going to be preached before I even start. Everybody that talks says something about what we can talk about. But Jesus is a reason for the season.
Amen.
Sorry, a little thirsty. So, and let me tell you this too. You are here for a reason this morning. And that reason is Jesus.
That's right.
Because he is the reason for the season.
Amen.
But you ever ask why? Just think about it a minute. We get into it. Yeah. Why is Jesus the reason for the season? And Daryl's probably saying, that ain't what you sent me. But we will get to it. So God paved the way for us. Let me back up. God paving the way to redeem us.
Amen.
He paved the way for us. And we can get into a lot of biblical study. That's not what we're here for today. We're going to get in why Jesus is a reason for the season, the birth of Jesus. That's what you're here for, probably, because it's Christmas, right at Christmas. So we're going to focus on Jesus' birth. It is a reason for the season. So we got Christmas trees. We got all this nice stuff. And that is okay. We can do all that. But as long as we keep our priority right,
Amen.
In the right order, and know what the real reason for the season
Amen.
Is,
Amen.
And we're going to answer our hope before we leave today why he's the reason for the season.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I like to joke a lot, a little bit. And it's, let me tell you this. For salvation is a serious business.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Amen.
So we're not going to joke about salvation, but it's okay. You know, and stuff. Be happy you're here.
Amen.
Be joyful that you're here. Be joyful that we have a Savior that went to the cross and died for us to save
Amen.
Us. Because we could not do it by ourselves.
Right.
We could not do it. And God knew that. And we can get into why here in a minute. So, on the lighter side of it, you know, I like Johns. There's a bunch of Johns we talk about, right? So, Christmas is associated, outside of Jesus, it's associated with giving, gifts, and stuff. Daryl, you would throw John 3:16 up there. A lot of y'all probably know John 3:16. Do you really know John 3:16?
Come on.
Break it down and look at it. For God so loved the world, here's your gift, here's our gift. He gave his only begotten Son. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How many times y'all read that? A lot of us probably read it a lot of times. Some of you may not have, but there it is. And so God gave his Son, his only Son, to redeem us, because we couldn't do it. John 14:6. He gave his Son to lead us to John 14:6, because God knew we couldn't get to him on our own.
Amen.
So he gave his Son. There's your Christmas gift.
Yep.
Now 14:6, Jesus, also being God, came. We're going to talk about the birth of Jesus. We get to it. And so no one, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Amen.
Okay? So God set a plan in place to redeem us. The fall of man, sin, sinful world. We can't be good enough. We can't do it. We cannot do it, period. And I don't care how many times you come to church, which is a good thing. I want y'all to come to church.
Come on.
But we got to focus, and we got to have Christ as our Savior.
Amen.
And in order for us to get to where we need to be. So why did God send his Son? Why did Jesus say, I'm the only way? Because he is. I'll give you the answer to that real quick. But Luke 19:10. I can put my readers on. This is why Jesus came. To seek and save the lost.
Amen.
So to seek and save the lost. All right. Enjoy your Christmas. Enjoy the family time. Enjoy getting together. And joy is a change in gifts. Then you worry about the rest of your paying your credit cards off. But keep in mind why we have Christmas, why he came here to this earth, what he's doing for us right now, and how he came to seek and save the lost. And we're not going to get into it, but now it's our job too.
Amen.
To get the word out there.
Amen. That's right.
He chose us as his vessel to reach the lost since he ascended back to heaven. So our job, and you're here for a reason. I said that earlier. We started out. You're here for a reason. And whatever that, and each one of us is called to do something.
Amen.
So to further his kingdom, and that's what we need to focus. So I want you to focus on what your calling is. You don't have to be standing here. You don't have to teach a Sunday school class. There's a bunch of ways to answer the call. A bunch of ways. And so instead of just witness to somebody. Oh, by the way, I started something the other day and I forgot. So I'm glad you're here. Be happy. Stand up and say hi to each other real quick. Do a little greeting. Tell everybody Merry Christmas. Hi. Thank you. Appreciate that. So we're going to get to the birth of Jesus. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. I typically don't do this, but I'm going to read a few scriptures, and then we're going to break them apart and get into it real quick. So the birth of Jesus, that's what we celebrate Christmas for. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1, I'll read it. Like I said, this is not my norm, but I think it's very important that we read these scriptures. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Cornelius was governor of Syria. And everyone went their own town to register. Now this is when we get into Joseph and Mary. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah and the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those who his favor rest." When the angels had left them and gone to heaven, now catch this, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying They returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Then it goes in and saying he got circumcised the eighth day. So I want to focus in on and stuff, and I didn't read this part of it, but an angel appeared to Mary, an angel appeared to Joseph, and then we got the angels, where the angel appeared. And how you can tie, and you can go back and read the rest of it later. how you tie what the angel said to all three of those, all three of them got something in common. By their faith, they believed, and they did what they was told to do. Amen. Now, they had a lot of unanswered questions that they didn't ponder on and let it interfere with what they was told to do. Amen. So I'm going to tell you, as Christians, fellow Christians, God tells us to go do things. I can almost guarantee you it's not going to be laid out perfect for you.
Come on.
It's not going to be something you want to do.
Come on.
Or just like, oh yeah, let's do that. Probably not. It's not going to, don't happen that way. But what is your faith? Are you ready to get close to God and listen to Him and do what He says to do? Just like the angels, just like the Mary. And just on Mary real quick, human logic told her she can't be pregnant because of the way nature works. But she accepted it. Okay, Lord.
There you go.
Now, that's kind of far out, you know. So, but thank God for women like Mary. Thank God for men like Joseph, that because he knew also that it wasn't humanly possible, but they had faith and they believed in God.
Amen.
And what God told them to do, and through His angel, they went and obeyed. And you got the angels that did the same thing. We can say the same thing about the wise men. I'm trying to keep it condensed. We can spend, unless y'all want to stay here till it's time to do the Christmas play. We ain't going to talk about everything. So let's break down what we read on the birth of Jesus, focus on that. It says, because of the census, Joseph and Mary had to travel to Bethlehem, which is something they had to do by the government. And don't think, we joke in the Bible study, or not joke, but we talk in the Bible study and other places and stuff about coincidences. It wasn't a coincidence that they ended up in Bethlehem,
Amen.
That they had to go. And the timing, God's timing is always perfect. And I can almost, it don't say in Scripture, I can almost guarantee you that Joseph and Mary, they just did what they had to do because the government told them to, but they didn't, at the moment, didn't realize it was God's plan all along.
Amen.
So they went and did what they had to do,
right.
And they went to Bethlehem because, but remember, God's in control this whole time. It's all laid out. And I can give you some prophecy where 700 years earlier, it was told that the baby was going to be born in Bethlehem.
Amen.
And didn't know how or why, but so there you go. And what's interesting is Bethlehem, and this is a whole sermon itself, is the city of David, the house of bread.
Amen.
And then another John verse, John 6:33. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.
Amen.
That's from Jesus. So the house, so it's all going to kind of coincidentally fall into place here. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven. We read that prophecy of Jesus born in Bethlehem fulfilled from Micah 5:2, 700 years earlier. So there's your Old Testament prophecy. Then it said, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, now here's where it gets interesting. Deity, divine status, He come from heaven, invaded humanity.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Come on.
Why don't you follow me here? I'm not trying to get too technical. I ain't that smart, I promise. So we can relate here. So God Himself come from heaven.
Oh, yeah.
He knew we couldn't do it on our own, like I said earlier. He came down through His Son, sent His Son from heaven, His heavenly host, to join humanity. So that what gives Jesus divine and humanity
Amen.
At the same time. At this, also because of that, the birth of Jesus, eternity invaded time.
Oh, yeah.
God's eternal, Jesus was always there.
Come on.
He's been there. He's still there.
Amen.
He'll be there in the future. He's always been around.
Amen.
So He come from His eternity setting and stuff. All this for us, by the way.
Oh, yeah. He didn't have to do none of this.
But he left to come here to save us, to give us opportunity to save him. So he invaded time, which is designed for us. And royalty, his heavenly royalty, invaded poverty. John 1, 1 through 4 tells us, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind.
Amen.
So, hey, look, Jesus is God. I don't know how else to put it. God's Jesus. Jesus is God.
That's it.
And so if you can analyze it, you can break it down, or you can't. Our human mind cannot. I always say there's a couple things that human man, that right now, we can't comprehend. Eternity. You can't comprehend eternity because we're defined by time. And the Trinity.
Amen.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're all one. They're all separate. It's just like Mary was told she couldn't have a child without being with a man. Just like the angels was told what they needed to go do and stuff. We just got to accept it.
That's right.
And had that faith in God to accept what he's doing. He didn't say it's going to make sense anyway. Nowhere he promises what I tell you to do is going to make sense. Because our sense, usually not sense. Lack of better words.
Makes no sense.
Makes no sense, right. I've done stupid things before, a couple times. And I thought it made sense at the time, but it didn't.
There you go.
And this is what I kind of like about the angels. That was verses 6 through 7 we just talked about. So 8 through 20, talking about the angels. So you know what evangelist is? You know, he's the dude that goes around, or woman goes around spreading the word, preaching. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not like assigned to a church. They go out and spread the word, right? So you kind of look at it this way. I thought this was kind of a neat way to put it. At the world's first evangelistical service, the shepherds were the congregation. The heavenly hosts were the preachers. The announcement was the gospel in all its beauty. And the invitation was responded to by everyone who heard it. The shepherds carried out the angels' instructions and then became preachers themselves, returning and glorifying and praising God. They got the news. They went to see the news. They accepted the news. And they went out there and they told the news. Exactly what, there's no different for us.
That's right.
So you got to accept it, you got to receive it, and you got to do something with it.
Amen.
And stuff. And like, you know, how many times I say, and stuff, get up from here, you're still a church.
Amen.
We're the church.
That's right.
The church goes out and gives the word. And that's what the angels did. I mean, the shepherds did, and that's what we need to do.
Amen.
Because how else are they going to hear the word?
Amen.
But through us.
That's right.
And I say it a bunch of times. And so Charlie back there told me before, or he said in his congregation, everyone deserves an opportunity to hear the word.
Amen.
How's everyone going to hear the word if we don't go tell the word?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to do. God chose the most unlikely place. This is verse 8 of Luke, chapter 2. The most unlikely place and people at the first, as the first witness. So I don't know, a little background. Shepherds were the low of society.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't bathe. They stunk. They couldn't even go in the temple to worship. But God's plan was to go through them first.
Amen.
And which gives people like me hope that God can use us. And so I don't care how dirty you think you are, or how dirty people might think you are,
mm-hmm.
how sinful you may think you may be. We all sin. We all are saved by the glory and grace of God.
Amen.
And through the cross.
Amen.
And so he can use anybody, anytime, anywhere,
Amen.
Just like he did the angels.
Right.
I mean the shepherds. I keep saying angels. The shepherds. He could even use a sorry highway patrol guy that nobody likes. Usually when they interact, highway patrol interacts with you, it's not good circumstances.
But we love you.
Yeah, so. The shepherds were all, here's the key, were all in the will of God, mm-hmm. going about their daily duties.
Right.
Most of the time, God's going to get your attention or talk to you at the unlikely moment in your life, or when you're just doing your life, when you're working in your daily activities. Now you can come to church and go to stuff, and he may talk to you there. But most of the time, he's gonna talk. Just like the shepherds, they were minding their own business, so to speak. Mm-hmm. They were tending their sheep, mm-hmm. doing their daily walk, just like Mary was doing. She was planning a wedding. She was about to get married to Joseph when the angel came to her. When Joseph got bombarded by something that wasn't humanly possible, I'm sure he was doing what he was told by his wife to get ready for the wedding. Probably what he was doing. He was living his life. The shepherds were doing their life. When you're at work, when you're at school, whatever you're doing. And God can talk to you anytime, anywhere, any place, and lead you to where he wants you to go. But you got to be in his will. And so that's one thing he does put on you is you got to do something. Mm-hmm. You got to get in his will. But in order to get, let's see how to say that. In order to get an action, a reaction, you got to have an action.
That's it.
Something got to happen for something to happen.
Amen.
And don't sit there and just, I'll just wait till God. I have heard it over the years and stuff. People 80 years old. I don't know what my calling is. I'm waiting on God to tell me something. Maybe you need to kind of take a step forward a little bit.
Yeah.
Figure it out. Do something. We need to be active. We need to get in God's will. Just like Mary and Joseph, here's another thing. Just like Mary and Joseph, the shepherds were also, every time they have an encounter with an angel, they have to tell them, don't be afraid. Because it's an encounter where they're afraid.
Out of the ordinary.
So it said the angels start out by saying, don't be afraid, like he did with Joseph and Mary. The message came at the time when a message of great joy was needed. The people were currently under the heavenly yoke of the Roman Empire. Now, prior to that, you can go back and look. God hadn't spoke to his people for 400 years. 400 years before all this conspired, mm-hmm. starting with John the Baptist and all this kind of time frame. So God hadn't spoke a word in 400 years, and they were needing the word. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you this, there's people right now that need to hear God's word.
Oh, yeah.
That
yeah.
need to be witnessed to, and that need to hear it from us. And go out there, and I tell you, right here, you can walk out this door in 5 minutes, you can witness to somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Just walk down. Oakhurst ain't that big, but there's a lot of people that need to hear the word.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of people.
Amen.
And that's what we need to do. So why did Jesus come here? He came to save a lost world, to give us the opportunity. And the roadmap that he took was by the birth of Jesus, the baby Jesus, Christmas. And then now look, I'll just be honest with you. My favorite holiday for as hearing the message is Easter. I like the birth of Jesus. It was good, great for the world. But what he did was even greater than that. When he come out of that grave and stuff, and when he set the path for us and he reached out to us and gave us the opportunity to come to him.
Amen.
And just like at the time that they were needing to hear a good word, so do we.
Amen.
We're ready for it. We need to be ready for it. We need to hear it. And we got to put it out there. So I told you real quick. So Micah predicted Jesus' birth about 700 years before it happened. Those of you that lack homework, do a little homework. Daniel gave a timetable of Jesus' appearance. Daniel 9:25. Jeremiah foretold a time when, because of Christ's birth, many children will be slaughtered. So right before Jesus' birth, King Herod didn't like the idea of a newborn king coming to threaten his territory. So he sent out an order to kill male kids from 2 years down. And that's predicted almost 700 years earlier in Jeremiah 31:15. You can't make this stuff up. You can't. Every prophecy that was prophesied about Jesus coming to this earth as a baby child in Bethlehem, the city of David, the line of David, the kids being slaughtered and stuff were predicted 500 to 700 years prior to.
Amen.
And you can start in Genesis and go to Revelation, and it all ties into Jesus Christ.
That's right.
The blood
Amen.
Of Jesus. And that's what we got to hang our hat on. Hosea revealed that Mary and Joseph would have to go to Egypt to save Jesus' life when they had to run away. Hosea 11:1. Like I said, all these prophecies were 500 to 700 years before Christ. Jesus' birth was not only a historical fact, but a fulfillment of prophecy, proving that he is the Messiah, the Savior of humankind.
Amen.
So Jesus came to celebrate Christmas. And I challenge you, Wednesday, Christmas morning, wake up and read the birth of Jesus, the baby Jesus story to the kids and grandkids. Share that with them before you get into opening presents. And all that's good things. And I'm all for it. As long as you keep in mind the real reason for the season.
Amen.
And that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, you got two people in the world. You got the lost and you got the found. The unlost. So we're going to play a song of invitation. If you need to come up here to this altar, if you need to come, if you need to accept Christ, if you need to pray over a family member, if you got something going on, get your heart right. Let's focus on Jesus and enjoy the joy that he wants you to have of knowing. Now, you're going to go through some issues and problems, and we know all that. But remember, we're victorious. We got eternity with Jesus. You stepped in. If you ain't there yet, come on up here and get that. And that, so you can enjoy this victorious life that we have for eternity.
Amen.
With Jesus Christ.
Daryl?